You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, we can't have a show without me calling in my mate, Bruce. I would normally say from Maryland in the United States in America, of America even, but that would be untrue because Bruce and his lovely wife, Nancy, are currently in Florida. So hello, Bruce in Florida.
Well, good day from Florida. We just got off the plane about an hour ago, and so I'm not in Maryland. I'm in Florida. We're going to take a week's vacation and go down to the Florida Keys. Fortunately, they didn't get touched by some of the bad weather we've had for a while. It should be good. We're going to do marathon, and there's a whole bunch of different Keys that hang out down below Florida. And we're going to spend the week doing that. So it's great fun. It should be great fun. And looks like the weather's okay.
Sounds well deserved, or yes. We've stressed you out doing all these interviews, one of the two.
Been so looking forward to this trip. And it's funny, when we planned for the trip, Nancy, she said, well, it's dangerous around that time. Let's go save Florida for another day and go to Asheville. So fortunately, we're not in Asheville. The Asheville has part of that destruction of Helene that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. So fortunately.
So how long, just to give an idea of geography, so Maryland's in the northeast, and of course Florida's in the north, well, the southeast, apology. How long to sort of get there? How long does it take you to fly or drive? If you were to drive, how long, and how long did it take you to fly?
Oh, if you were to drive from point A to point B, it would be about 15 hours straight. And if you were to drive, I mean, if you were to fly, it's about 2.5 hours. But then you've got all the luggage on and luggage off and all that stuff. So all said and done, it's about 3 or 4 hours to get from Maryland to Baltimore.
Well, that's not too bad.
From Maryland to Miami. Yeah, you could get in. Florida's a big state, so it's not too bad.
It's clearly the go-to place, is it, for holidays?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're on the East Coast, people, Florida, or then you go into the Caribbean islands. But this is different. It's going to be fun. We are looking forward to it. So...
Well, of course, Florida's been in the news because of Cyclone Milton. We had Helene, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and the damage and controversy around FEMA. But now Milton hit, but it didn't seem to be as dramatic as they expected.
No.
Would that be accurate?
Yes, it would be. Milton was cranking up to be an absolute monster storm. There were winds 185 miles an hour sustained. I don't know exactly how many miles, how many kilometers an hour that is. But anyway, and they were like, if it comes smashing in at full speed, it's going to cause just massive death and destruction as it cuts through, bisects the state of Florida. But fortunately, just as it got closer to the state, it backed down a little bit. It went down to a 5 and then finally hit Tampa, which is on the middle west coast of Florida, at a category 3, and it was where Helene was a rain event, which caused huge, massive flooding and mass misery. Milton was more of a wind event, and it hit hard. It sure did hit hard, and it's a full blown hurricane, and it bisected the state and caused a lot of problems, but. Everybody they knew it was coming. Everything is in place. I think there was loss of life. The loss of life was due to some of the tornadoes that a hurricane or cyclone, as you call it, a hurricane, it'll spawn tornadoes off of it. And some of those tornadoes were massive and caused their own damage and killed a bunch of folks in and around the Tampa Bay area. And then it scooted across, and it was in and out and gone in 35 hours.
I was quite surprised because, of course, the buildup was, this was dramatic, get out of the area completely.
Oh, it was totally sky is falling.
Yeah, it was, and obviously not quite as bad.
No, fortunately, they dodged a bullet again. And you just never know what Mother Nature's going to throw at you. And they're so unpredictable. They can turn left, turn right. They stop. They move forward. Yeah. So they dodged a bullet. And fortunately, we're here in Florida, and it's none the worse for wear. Lots of palm trees. I love palm trees.
Probably a stupid question. Has it become political? I know early on, Harris in particular was trying to get hold of DeSantis and to get sort of involved, but has it been politicized?
Oh, it was so silly. Yes. It's the Dems have had a bad, bad, bad couple of weeks. And yes, Kamala wanted to politicize it by, saying that DeSantis wasn't taking her calls. How dare he? And he pretty much put her back in her place and said, wait a minute, you're not even in the chain of command. Who are you? Don't make this political. I know hurricanes. I've done these hurricanes. Never once have I ever gotten a call from you. So stop it. that kind of put her in her place. Then there's been some controversy about 60 Minutes, our legacy media, CBS, which is a big one. 60 Minutes is, they're 60 Minutes, for goodness sake. They apparently did an interview with Kamala and promoted what the show was going to be by asking a question about her relation with Israel. And then when the actual show came on, that question came up, and there was a completely different answer. We're not edited, but just completely different. And they're saying that's not journalism. That needs to be investigated. And they're just trying to, again, legacy media trying to make Kamala look better than she is. And
I have to say, from this end, I'm sick and tired of that behavior by mainstream media. It happens all the time. Doctored photos or the angles they choose, or exactly with Kamala basically she took a, if I recall, seeing the whole footage, rambly all over the place, probably reminding everyone she's middle class.
Everybody calls it word salad. It just goes around in circles and circles. And her polls, the polls are down. The polls are way down. She's there's nothing new. She doesn't propose anything new. When asked, she says, "I'm going to do exactly what Biden's going to do," and nobody likes that. That joy thing that she's been talking about, she did at the convention. I think that's peaked. Let's see.
She must be trying to play off Obama's. Remember, Obama's all about hope, wasn't he? That was his big thing in those pictures. So she's probably trying to echo that. But I noticed, Bruce, she's pitching really hard to black voters, particularly black men and Latinos, which is meant to be their heartland for Democrats, isn't it?
Well, you'd think. Black men and Latinos have been a reliable voting bloc for 40 years, 50 years maybe. But blacks and Latinos, black men are saying, wait a minute, we do this every 2 years, do this every 4 years. You promise us the moon, we get all these good things, and then nothing ever changes, and we go back and do this again. And Trump's actually coming out with some, if elected, I'm going to research sickle cell anemia, which is a black disease. The black men have lived through what Trump's first term, so the percentages are way down, and it's scaring the heck out of the left. Used to be a reliable 97%. Now if they're 85, I'd be surprised.
Well, they must be worried, says me as a former politician, when your core vote begins to soften. I mean, you and I talked a few weeks ago, too. Was it the Teamsters, one of these big unions, not backing the Democrats? Yes. I mean, to a New Zealander, it would be like our teacher unions not backing the Labour or the Left Party. We'd be like, whoa, that's serious.
Yeah, they didn't. They're not in favor of anybody. They just kind of freed their members to say, "Okay, we're not going to endorse anyone." And that is that. Then no news is news. That they didn't. They haven't done that in a long time.
And what's happened with old Trump? Because he's I think I read somewhere some are putting it forward as a third assassination attempt, but it seems like a guy just happened to have guns in his car, which doesn't strike me as all that unusual in America. I mean, do you know what was happening there?
It was a silly thing. Trump was giving another rally, and this time security is just buttoned up tight where, a groundhog couldn't get through without being checked. And it made a lot of people who were there very angry because they did one car who may or may not have been going to the rally. They stopped and he had multiple passports. He had a rifle with full magazines in the car, which is not, believe it or not, it's not illegal. It's, the Second Amendment. But there was quite a yahoo, and you go, oh no, third attempt, oh my gosh. We're going to have to take a look in the rearview mirror on this one, but I just don't see an assassination attempt there. It was just wrong guy in the wrong place with a whole
wrong
lot
place.
Of weapons.
Yeah. And voting's, you mentioned the other week, voting's already open because it's November 5th, isn't it? That's election day, but voting's already in. Is it Georgia and a few other places? So people are already turning out.
Yes, voting is actually happening in Virginia, Georgia. I think they've started in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a huge battleground state. Whoever takes Pennsylvania wins the presidency. It's that key. I guess it's because it's called the Keystone State, huh? That's their logo. But anyway, it's the early voting in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure where else. I think in Colorado and a couple of other places. And then the doors wide open in the next week or so for everybody for early voting.
So, if you don't mind me asking, how does it work for you? I'm not saying you're voting, but in Maryland, I mean, do you go down to a local town hall and fill out a piece of paper, or how do you vote in America? Because we literally walk into tennis clubs and churches and town halls and fill out a piece of paper. You tick Bruce Pope and Nancy Pahat and, voila, you voted. Put it in a box and walk away. How do you vote in the state of Maryland?
Well, voting is a very interesting thing. It's first of all, you have to register. You have to be 18 to vote, and you have to register. You have to, there's easy registration. It's a checkbox on your driver's license and stuff. Anyway, then you get a voter registration ID, and which you don't need to vote. Which is the irony. You get a number and your address and stuff, but then it's a local. It's usually the local public school or gymnasium. They take the day off. And polls are open from about, I think it's 8 to 8, varies with each state. Again, we're United States, so everybody's got their own rules. And then they count them up and see who wins. Now, the catch here is it's all the electronic, and there's room for all kinds of funny business. And so the Republicans are making a huge early vote drive, so they can't be tampered with on election night. So hopefully that'll work. But they just don't want to have a repeat of 2020, with all they didn't know for a month and Trump's still, saying he wasn't right.
Yeah. He hasn't backed down from that. So are you again pen and paper or do you literally have a computer screen?
Do I what?
Oh, for voting. So when you go to your public school, is there literally a piece of paper that you fill out, or is there a computer you tap on, or a hanging chad?
There's an option. exactly. There's multiple ways of voting, and it's based on the individual election board of that state or even that county, whether you use paper, and I've used paper many times, and you blacken in the little hole with a number two pencil. There are computer voting where you it's on the screen, and then you hit plus, and there's a verification thing that comes out to prove that it's you. That's And then on the mail-in voting, on the early voting, you can actually, they mail you a ballot. You have to request one that they'll mail you a ballot. And it's just like regular voting. You drop it in the mail and it goes to the election bureau. They're trying to stay away from the drop boxes, the mail-in drop boxes, where it's just voting ballots only. And so there was accusations of people dumping lots of nefarious votes into these voting drop boxes throughout various states.
Can I just say, I think if you ever had to vote in New Zealand, you would find it incredibly boring. We just have one system, one piece of paper, very straightforward.
Oh, we have signs and parades and people bouncing around outside the polling places, you know, wanting your vote. And I don't know, they can't do it within 500 feet, but they are, you know, right up to the edge. And last minute voter. Oh, you've
we are definitely boring. We're definitely boring. We have to pull all signs down the night before. So on election day, there are no signs. In fact, police will come and visit you if there's signs still up on your yard or porch. But yeah, we're boring. Dare I say that on radio compared to you guys? But
it's just the opposite. Night before election, it's decoration day with signs.
Well, Bruce, I should let you go and enjoy Florida. I'm incredibly grateful, and I'm sure listeners are too, that you've literally landed and taken my call. But go and enjoy Florida. Have a pina colada or two for me.
Oh, I certainly will. And all you Kiwis, maybe I'll have a Kiwi in your honor. But thanks. If I sound a little tired, I've been traveling all day. So,
well, you go and put your feet up, my friend.
Hopefully we'll get some news. All righty. Be well, and we'll talk to you next week.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.